Track 6. This is Brian Gall back at the sports desk to bring you the latest news. The Worcestershire County Cricket League dodged the showers and managed a full programme on Saturday. Pedmore won a close encounter with Feckenham by 4 wickets with an over to spare, but were deducted 5 league points for some infringement. The website has not explained why. However, the victory eases them up the league table away from the danger zone. Hagley's decline continues, however. They lost by 21 runs at Bewdley, and if this continues, they'll be changing places with Pedmore in the league table ere long. In the second division, Belbroughton were the local stars. They bowled out Breeden for 72 runs to win by over 100. But Old Swinford were well beaten, defeated at home by Evesham, losing by 64 runs, and they badly need a couple of wins to keep them in the division. We're into August now and there are only 7 league matches left this season. In the Birmingham League, Stourbridge seem to have lost their early season form and have failed to win any of their last 4 matches. They were stymied by Nuneaton in their latest home match, which ended in Stourbridge achieving a winning draw, and they did have the pleasure of admiring Matt Bradley's first 100 this season. He smashed his ton in just 42 balls. As far as the third test match against South Africa is concerned, England's resounding victory at the Oval on Monday gives them a 2-1 lead in the series with 1 match to go. Difficult to pick out the highlights here. There were several from an English perspective. A dream debut for the Middlesex cricketer Toby Rowland-Jones, who took 8 wickets in the match, including 5 in South Africa's first innings. I seem to remember, I'm going back a long way, but I think this is correct, I seem to remember a certain Ian Botham taking 5 wickets in his first test match for his country, and we all know what he went on to achieve. But apart from the new boy, there was plenty to admire in England's performance, including a mighty 100 from Ben Stokes in England's first innings, for which he received the Man of the Match award, and Moeen Ali's hat-trick, which ended South Africa's second innings and brought England victory. It's been an odd series of matches in a way. So far, England were totally dominant in the first test match, then crumbled and looked hopeless in the second, but returned to master the proceedings in this third match just gone. Let's hope there's no slump when the final test match gets going at Old Trafford on Friday. And this unseasonable weather wiped out the Wolverhampton Wolves Speedway programme last week, with 2 matches having to be postponed. Speedway, a dangerous enough sport at the best of times, can become lethal on a wet track, and a heavy shower is enough to put paid to racing. On Monday evening, however, the sun was shining and Wolves, back on their home track, put the Somerset team to the sword with a 56 points to 34 victory. This was pretty much one-way traffic and an easy win for the home side, who were back to full strength, with Kyle Howarth, who was carted off to hospital a couple of weeks ago suffering concussion after hitting the safety fence, back in action for the team. He celebrated his return by winning every heat in which he raced, and all Wolves riders had a successful evening. The team are still clinging on to second place in the league table, despite 3 successive defeats prior to this match on Monday, and next action will see a visit from the Poole Pirates next week. The Cradley Heathens were also in action on Monday evening, away to Kent, and by coincidence the score was exactly the same as in the Wolves match, 56 to 34. Unfortunately, the team scoring 56 was Kent. The Cradley team manager, Will Pottinger, was nearly apoplectic after this performance by his side, which he said was unacceptable. Apart from the club's top 2 riders, who both performed creditably, all the others failed miserably on the night, not one managing to win a heat or even come second. Heads may roll. My report last week contained early news of the World Swimming Championships taking place this time in Budapest. At that early stage, Team GB had won 2 gold medals, one by Ben Proud, who won by a whisker in the 50 metres butterfly, and the other by the unbeatable Adam Peaty in the 100 metres breaststroke. Adam went on to take his 2nd gold medal in the 50 metres breaststroke, and the team added another gold medal later in the week, along with a silver and 2 bronzes. The achievement of 7 medals altogether, 4 of them gold, was enough to promote the British team to 2nd overall in the medal table, which is the best we've ever achieved in these championships, which are held every other year. But come on, ladies, all the medals were achieved by the men's team, and indeed there were few British female performers taking part. And the next big world sporting event will be in athletics, also the World Championships, and they start in London at what was the Olympic Stadium on Friday. I'm really looking forward to this as I enjoy watching track and field events, and I hope that with the benefit of home soil, Team GB will show up well. The meeting will feature the end of Usain Bolt's sprinting career as he's announced his retirement. Can anyone catch him over 100 metres, or will it be more gold to add to his collection? No one has beaten him over the distance since 2013. Age has not exactly withered him, but Bolt is not quite the force he was, and victory for him this time is not a given. Great Britain's main hope in the sprint events will be CJ Uja, who's been in prime form this summer. He's won over the distance in Diamond League meetings three times. And moving from 100 metres to 10,000, can Mo Farah lead the field yet again? Like Bolt, age is catching up with him a bit, and I believe he intends to give up these track events for marathons, so this may be his swan song. With the home crowd behind him, perhaps he can deliver again. One man who'll be whistling from the stadium where he took gold at the Olympics in 2012 is long jumper Greg Rutherford. He's been suffering niggling injuries all this summer and has had to withdraw from the British team. But there is one British gold medal we can be sure of, Jessica Ennis-Hill. Not from action on the track, the lady is currently 8 months pregnant, but this will be deserved, if very much delayed, reward for the heptathlon in these World Championships 6 years ago. Jess took the silver medal on that occasion, but the Russian winner of the gold was subsequently proved to have taken performance-enhancing drugs, has at last been stripped of that gold medal, and it will be re-awarded to Ennis-Hill at the London Championships next week. Athletics events are at the centre of Olympic Games, and I was pleased to learn this week that some sense has at last prevailed over where the next two Olympics, after Tokyo in 2020, are to take place. Usually, we've had major cities around the world competing for the prestige of hosting the Games and committing themselves to spending vast fortunes on facilities. However, the ever-mounting cost has deterred even the most vainglorious governments to balk, and the only locations willing even to put themselves forward were Paris and Los Angeles. They've done a deal between them to avoid the further expense of competing bids. The 2024 Games will take place in Paris and will be in Los Angeles 4 years later. Earlier in this report, I was urging Great Britain's female swimmers to up their game, but in general, the fair sex are enjoying a great summer of sport. We had our ladies' cricket team win the World Cup just a couple of weeks ago, and now the England ladies' football team could be in the brink of glory as well. The Women's European Championships are currently at the semi-final stage, and tomorrow, Thursday, England meet the Netherlands in the semi-final. They began the competition in the same group as Scotland, Spain and Portugal, all three of whom they defeated, conceding only one goal in the process and scoring 10. Next up was a quarter-final against France, a side they'd not beaten for about 40 years. But on Sunday, the English ladies won that too by a single goal in a nerve-wracking match which they managed to hold on to at the finish. On Thursday, England will play the host of the tournament, the Dutch side, in Enschede, with the final beckoning on Sunday if they can get through. I have not seen any of the Dutch matches, but they have an excellent defensive record. Like England, they've conceded only one goal up to now, so another close encounter is to be expected. Come on, England! Let's see you in the final. And the new league soccer season gets going this weekend. You may, or may not, be glad to learn. The Premier League doesn't begin until the following weekend, but this Saturday sees action in the Championship and lower leagues. So, fans of Villa, Wolves, etc., get ready for another 9 months of torture. Both Villa and Wolves are at home on the opening Saturday, while Blues, Birmingham City that is, travel to meet Ipswich. As far as Stourbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys, are concerned, league action doesn't start for another couple of weeks. In fact, their opening match will be on Sunday, August the 13th, as on the Saturday, the Memorial Ground is hosting a Stourbridge cricket fixture. You may remember Glass Boys made it to the promotion playoffs at the end of last season, but were unable to progress to a higher league. They are, of course, hoping to go one better this season. Whatever happens, I hope to bring you regular reports here. From time to time, I've had the opportunity in these weekly reports to mention Stourbridge teenager Charlotte Bardsley, an up-and-coming table tennis star. As she matures, she's moving up the scale of difficulty, playing against ever more experienced opponents, and a couple of weeks ago she took part in the European Youth Championships, which were held in Portugal. Charlotte made it all the way to the final 32 in the girls' singles event, at which point she lost to a Polish competitor, and then, teamed up with a Czech player, the pair made it to the last 16 of the doubles. But that's all the sports news this time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back with you next week. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gore.